Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Denny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning as OSEDA. And our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, and Angler U. All right, Galveston right now down on the island this morning. It's 58 degrees. Today they're calling for plentiful sunshine with a high of 65. Winds will be north at 10 to 20. And then for tonight, clear skies, low of 47. North-northeast winds 10 to 20. And for tomorrow, mainly sunny sky again, high of 57. Northeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. And looking at our tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have two of them. We have a low coming up at 1:33 p.m. It's a negative 0.2, coming off of 1.1 last night. And then a high at 10:21 p.m., a 1.0. 7:09 a.m. is sunrise, 5:25 p.m. is sunset. Moon phase, 79% on the backside of a full moon. All right, currently right now, the North Jetty in Galveston looks like a northeast wind at 6. The old rollover side is northeast at 9. San Luis Pass, northeast at 5. Kind of north in it, more north-northeast. And Eagle Point is north at 3. And Morgan's Point, north at 2. Wind is not a factor. Beautiful morning. No wind. They're calling for it today, but right now it is very calm. All right. Well, let's get to our call lines, as we always do on Friday morning. Start off with the old hammer, Captain Glenn Hammond, down in the Tri-Bay area. See what he's up to this morning. Good morning, Glenn. What's up?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. Not too much, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for asking.
Well, yes, sir. It's we got a 54 degrees down here in Surfside with a 7-mile-an-hour north wind and fog.
Some fog
in the area.
Coming off the water,
yes,
or just low areas?
Just ground fog.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe that wind will pick up here in a little bit and blow it out of here. But we'll see how it goes. I got a couple guys showing up about 7:30. We're going to try to get out there. So, but a pretty good week. I mean, I fished on Wednesday. Had a customer from Lake Jackson come in. And anyway, we threw plastics, and you know it was right before the front, because that front came through late Wednesday afternoon. I guess, yeah. I don't know, somewhere around 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, the wind switched at my house up on T Bay about 3 o'clock, I guess, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
A few little showers ahead of it, and then the wind changed direction.
Yeah, and then by about 6:30, that north wind really started picking up.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like the last blow, but it was a norther. And anyway, we got out there, and I'm going, man, we're going to get them. We got them the other day right before the front. It's going to be carbon copy and all that. Not so.
Not fishy, so. Man.
Didn't materialize, fishing. Captain. just didn't put all the ducks in a row or something. I don't know. But we have enough action to please him. And
yeah,
he ended up with I've been getting one red on each trip, about one red on each trip, and then some trout, and then some sand trout mixed in there too. So, and you know, I believe, I don't know, maybe my Lowrance was going out or something, but I got a real high water temperature on Saturday. I mean, it was 68, 70 degrees.
Yeah, that's kind of high.
That was, I believe it was, I don't know. It warmed up. I know that much because the last time I've been out was 64 degrees.
You're on a Lowrance?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they've got a setting on there where you can go in there and calibrate that, get you another water temperature gauge that you know is pretty much on, and then calibrate it for that.
And that's what I need to do. But anyway, let's see. The water wasn't too bad. It was a little sandy. I've seen it clear. Mm. And the dish was using a variety of soft plastics. And like I said, he got a 25-inch red. He had three trout, his limit. I feel real good now saying, hey, man, my customer got a limit of trout. Nothing to write home about, but he got him three trout, three sand trout, three specks. Yeah. Well, this guy goes home and he immediately cooks them. You know, he don't go home and put them in no freezer. Matter of fact, he's been known to stop at a restaurant or two and have them cook them for him before he even gets home. But anyway, he had a nice box. He had a pretty nice box. And we went down by San Luis Pass and just messing around the bays back there by Bastrop and just trying to do anything we could to get a bite. And it was like non-existent, man. There was bait everywhere. You know, that water did come up 3 or 4 or 5 degrees, but between the last time I fished, and there was mullet jumping and bait jumping on the sides of the channels and stuff. So, you know, it's just not, I don't know. The fish go deep one day and they go shallow the next. They don't know what to do. Let me turn this. 1 second. I got an AC unit, and it's growling at me. The compressor is making a noise.
I couldn't hear it.
It's a heat pump, and anyway, it's under warranty, and I got the guy working on replacing it. But man, you talking about a hard night's sleep trying to go to sleep with that thing kicking on and starting. I'd rather sleep under the covers and listen to all that stuff. We got him a nice box of fish on Wednesday, and then everybody knows the story. Yesterday the wind blew and we had that old low gray sky on us all day long, and it just a real chilly day until about 2 o'clock that sky started to clear, and about 4 o'clock there wasn't a cloud in the sky and it was beautiful. I mean, absolutely, the wind had died back to almost nothing. The bay glassed out, and this is late yesterday afternoon. It was really, really nice. I don't know who went out. I haven't heard anything. I'm sure somebody got them, but
yeah, yesterday morning started off kind of, you know, cloudy and misty and a little bit of wind, but boy, it turned off to be a beautiful day.
Yeah, I ended up when Hurricane Beryl came through here, it messed my fire pit up, the floor to my fire pit, and so I've been trying to get this one of my neighbors builds. He's a builder down here. And he goes, hey, man, if you need some lumber to fix up your fire pit, he goes, I got a stack of it down there by one of those houses, and you're welcome to it. So, man, I went down there, and he had 2x12s, 2x10s, and, man, it was old wood, old scalpel boards and stuff like that. But, you know, just a pile of it, and it's good to me because, I mean, all I'm trying to do is fix up that floor around the fire pit. And I'm ready to get those fires going this winter already. I got a stack of wood, man. I bet you I'm sitting on about 2 cords over here. And that's what we do in the winter, just kind of in the late afternoon to get out there and build a fire. So, but today I'm fishing with a buddy of mine, from a customer from Sugar Land, and he's got his son in from Denver, Colorado. They're going to meet me at 7:30 this morning. We're going to get out there and see what we can do. He's requested that I put some a quart of bait on live shrimp for his son. You know, he don't get to fish too much, so I guess he wants him to. We don't want to work him too hard on the soft plastics, you know. If it's a first trip
on there for him, pop it cork.
Yes, sir.
Throwing a lure, man.
It's a lot more work. But I sit around yesterday afternoon, just a good day to work on tackle. Let's see, I had out of my fish cleaning table, I had my GFI, you know, those son of a guns don't last but a year or two, and I had to replace it.
Especially that salt air down there, man.
Oh, I know, and you got to have everything sealed and gaskets and, you know what I mean, weatherproof covers and all that stuff. Just so much moisture and humidity and stuff down here in the air, but... Got her ready to go. Woman Linda could put her Christmas lights up, and got her little beach cabin decorated. So we're ready for the holidays.
5 days till Christmas.
I'll tell you what I ain't ready for. That trip that we made on Sunday morning after I talked to you, we headed up to Austin. We left here at 7. We left here at 7:30, and got back at 7 o'clock at night. I mean, went up there. Ate dinner, ate lunch, visited with a family, and drove back. Oh, man. Goodness gracious. Boy, I'll tell you what. I mean, I got caught up in that. I had that death wobble go off on me on my truck. You know, I know you heard about it.
Ford's or no doors for that. Boy, that.
Yes, sir.
And pull over at Bucky's and change your underwear.
Yeah, that's just about what Melinda told me to do. I mean, that's almost the words exactly, because it scared the living daylights out of us. I was hitting 80 miles an hour because they allow you 75 up there, you know, and those going around the outside edges of Boston and anywhere up there is 75 miles an hour. And if you're going to keep up with traffic, you got to go 80. So I was hitting 80 and I hit a little bump or something and it sent it into a wobble. And I couldn't even hardly hold my hands on the steering wheel. Luckily, there was nobody around me and nobody behind me. And I just got over to the shoulder of the road as quick as I could. And I was already applying brakes because it won't stop until you stop that truck. I mean, it just like you got it.
That's been a problem for a while with those trucks.
Right before I went on that trip, a buddy of mine had gave me one of those suspension shocks because he put a whole lip kit on his truck and he had all these spare pieces off of his brand new truck. And I was hoping that was a problem, but it ain't, man. Once it starts wobbling like that, it messes up more stuff under there than you can even imagine.
It'll shake.
I'm surprised we didn't see the battery flying out of there and water coming out of the radiator.
Shake your eyeballs out, man.
Have you ever been in, did your any of your trucks ever do that?
No, I run GM. They don't have that problem, but I've got buddies that have Fords, and I was with one time pulling a boat, and that happened, and it was not
pretty.
Man,
that's scary, buddy.
I'm telling out of you.
What in the world? And they knew about it, and there was no recall on them, is what I heard. And you just got to, well, unless it's under warranty, and that happens to you, and then you take it back in and get it fixed, but Lord knows what it costs to get that whole suspension fixed on the front end of that truck. I got one of those, it's a 2015 with a 6.2 liter in it. Heavy truck. I mean, it's not that big. It's not a 350 like you probably drive. It's big enough for me. I run a
three-quarter ton. Back in the day, I used to pull had a one-ton truck, 3,500, mm-hmm. but.
Three-quarter now.
I'm a 2,500 man. That's plenty for me now.
Plenty. Yes, sir. Well, bait camps are holding bait. I'm headed up there this morning to get a quart, and just where they'll have them on the boat. And I'm going to be throwing plastic while they're throwing shrimp, and we'll see how it goes.
Courtesy quart of Hop-O-Matic, man.
Oh yeah. They got some finger mullet and some mud minnows, and I've seen two or three different flags flying at different bait camps. So you won't have it if you're a bait fisherman. I'd rather not even mess with it, but I guess he doesn't have a bunch of confidence in his son. You know, he just wants him to catch some fish and have some fun.
Yeah,
so
that'll work.
Instead of working all day, I'm going to put some Hop-O-Matics, but I'll give you a report on Sunday about it, buddy.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, throw out a number. Somebody wants to give you a call, Hammer.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate it. 713-208-0683. Thank you, Captain Mickey. I'll talk to you Sunday.
See you, Glenn. All right, take care, man. All right. Well, folks, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, well, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch. It's a premier hunting and fishing destination in Matagorda, Texas. You know, whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters also. So bring your friends, bring your clients, and let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything for you, from five-star lodging, skeet shooting, sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. So your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. And if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40 or host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. You can book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday morning. It is 419 here in the Bayou City. Looks like a beautiful day ahead of us. Abundant sunshine anyway. That's a good thing. All right, let's get to our phone lines. Let's go to Captain Bink Grimes, see what he's up to this morning. He's going quacking, I guarantee you. Morning, Bink. What's up, man?
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah,
what's up,
heading to the marsh.
Heading
to the marsh, yes, sir. Don't have the wind I thought we'd have, but looks like it's going to be a little bit calmer than what.
Yeah, it's just they're calling for 10 to 20, but, I mean, I'm seeing anywhere from 5 to 8 everywhere. There's a little bit this way. It looks calmer down your way.
Yeah, it is. It is. Like I don't think we're going to get our
three.
I don't think we're going to get our wind about 10:30, 11 o'clock, and it'll be over by then. So,
man, it's time to be back at sunrise eating breakfast, man.
Pretty much. A little biscuits and gravy for you.
Yes, sir. Biscuits and gravy. Duck hunter's delight.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a decent little wind yesterday. Wasn't too bad. So.
Yeah, how's your hunting holding up?
Man, it's good. It is. Good. We're having to be real gentle, and I mean it's a different year, you know, and you gotta really be gentle with them and kind of choose where you're going to hunt. Like today, I had kind of idea what I was going to do with the wind, and then you get up with no wind, and then you kind of shift tactics because you don't want to. There's sometimes, you know, even if you got birds and you have no wind, you're not going to shoot them. I mean, it's no. You just not. You try to pick a day like today. You try to pick a hole with a lot of teal in it and get that early flight, and because it's going to be over. You try not to blow your holes with all the gadwalls and gray ducks and widgeon in it, because it's so hard to decoy them without a wind. And so we're kind of looking at that, shifting gears, what we're going to do, because we're going to get wind tomorrow. We're going to get, you know, 10 to 15 tomorrow, I believe. So you kind of don't want to blow those holes out for tomorrow, you know. And so you kind of always have, you got to have a 3 or 4 day window out there, what your plan's going to be. And so that's kind of what we're doing, switching gears. We had two good hunts yesterday. We shot all our ducks, but we had, I don't know, both hunts had 16 to 18 gadwalls in them, you know.
Ooh, and good scrap, yeah.
Yeah.
Big
just,
ducks.
You know, gray ducks doing it, you know. Sometimes 20 in a mess of them just doing it.
Oh, that's fun, isn't it, man?
Yeah.
You know, that's so, what's so weird about them gads, man, them old chickens. They, one day they'll work, they'll eat you up. You can't beat them out off of you. And then the next day you can't even get one to even put flaps down for nothing.
No, that's right. I mean, you can, I've said it before, you know, our marsh is full of ducks, and you know, when you set up, you're looking at other holes that they're working throughout the marsh, and you know there's ducks in those holes, and you say, well, they're going to them, they're going to live ducks, and then they pull up on them, you know, and like they're flaring off live ducks, and that's just gadwalls being gadwalls, you know, fickle, and you wonder, you know, they do that to you too, and you're like searching for answers, man. What are they seeing? What are they doing? What are they? No, a lot of times they're just being gadwalls, you know. And like yesterday, the way we set up with the wind, you know, we really thought all the shooting was going to be on the right side because the wind was just that way. And man, they kept skirting, and then finally, when the sun came up a little bit higher, they started doing it. And what it was that fireball sun that we had coming from the east was just, I mean, you couldn't even look. It was just casting this big glare off the water, and they didn't want it. And I understand, I didn't really want it either, you know. But when it got a little bit higher, it was like, man, here they come, you know. Yeah. They did it. And it's all little things that we don't see from the ground, I get, you know, that they see from the air, and you know, you can see it, I guess, when you fly
them. Yeah, they see things differently.
But you're always searching for answers why they're doing this, why they're doing that, and there's a lot of answers you just can't answer.
Yeah, let me know when you get that figured out.
Kind of like fishing. Exactly right. Kind of like fishing. But we, so that's, you know, that's kind of the mode. There's been several hunts this year that, you know, I've been on the air with you know, that I thought, my Lord, we're going to just bang them. And man, yeah, they didn't come. And I've never, this whole season, you know, it's been a tough year for a lot of folks. I mean, there's not as many ducks down here as there has been. I mean, you and I both got a lot of friends in the industry that are really, really struggling right now.
Struggle is real, and buddy.
It is. And I've had ducks the whole time, but I've had some slow hunts. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I haven't gone in on anything that I said, oh shoot, we got a really good chance of killing, you know, but there's some days they don't fly, you know. But I've had ducks the whole time, so I'm pretty fortunate at that. Our marsh is just a little special place, man, and we've seen it in years past too. That even when things are slow, a lot of other places we tend to hold them, so that's what's happening right now. But it's still hunting. I mean, you don't know, man. You just you go and it's like fishing. It's just, man, there's a lot of variables there, and you just go. And a lot of times, you know, it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, sometimes they don't bite. So, but we just keep plugging.
I'm not starting off my vacation with a very positive outlook, you know, due to the warm temperatures coming up Christmas on, you know, through New Year's. I mean, that's a terrible forecast for South Texas.
It is. We've been, you know.
You know, when it's warm in the mornings down there, you pull fog, and if you don't get a deer within 100 yards of you, you can't make him out or see what he's about. And you fight the fog in the mornings, and in the afternoons it's so warm, you know, in the 80s, and you end up going bird hunting.
Yeah. You know, fog is not our friend either in the duck hunting world. No. They do not want it. And especially if you're dealing with an hour or 2 hour, you know, flight, you know, in the morning, man, if you got fog and they don't do it, you got problems, you know. Yeah, you're done.
Real problem.
You know. So, but, you know, those are all the variables. And then last week we were fighting a moon. You know, they did it for a little while and just, you know, shut it down on that moon. And now we're getting on the backside of it, and they're acting a little bit better. But then you deal with bald eagles, and then you deal with, you know, you just deal with all kinds of different factors.
Falcons,
out there.
Falcons, hawks, eagles, no wind, high gray liner. Boy, that's
high gray liner.
Like, I hate a high gray liner.
Well, a lot of folks think you want cloudy weather, no, you know, to kill ducks. No.
Give me,
I like this, what we got today.
I'm a blue bird on ducks.
Yes, geez, today
that's a
is
deal, but ducks, I like the blue bird.
Yes. So, but we've been fortunate. We've got birds, and they're just they're in isolated pockets along the coast, you know, and I wrote the story for Ducks Unlimited, the migration report in last week, and you know, I had to make a lot of phone calls to a lot of different people around the state. And man, it's doom and gloom in a lot of spots, a lot of spots. But I mean, you know, that when's the last time you hunted, you know, in November and it still needed mosquito spray just about every day, you know? When's the last time you've sweated so many right. days in the 80s, you know, just, and it does, it's kind of like, you know, your outlook on your deer hunt, man. It's kind of gets like that duck hunting wise. You go, golly, you know, I hope we don't get the cold weather in March and everything, you know. I hope it doesn't push it back, because, you know, by the time March gets here, we're ready for it to be rocking and rolling and put the suntan lotion on and let's go, you know. Let's get into tourist season and get everybody back on the water and get rolling, you know.
Right.
But who knows 2024 has been a different year for sure.
Yes, it has.
Every year, as I guess you could say,
outdoor activities, it has been the
all aspects. Just seen a lot of changes, man. Just a lot of changes. I don't have answers for. Kind of like the world. There's a lot of changes you don't have answers for, you know. But where you better adapt, man. The same patterns that used to work don't pan out like they used to. So you better be able to read water and read animals and read barometers and read water levels and read water temperatures, and I don't know, you can add some more in there. Guide talk.
That excuse handbook's getting thicker every year.
The old guide handbook.
The old guide excuse handbook.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave home without it.
Some days you better have a whole lot of jokes to tell.
Jokes and big fish stories and all that. But y'all's fishing's been hanging in there doing good.
Man, it has. It's just, golly, it has. We got to run, four or five boats this afternoon. And golly, it just has, man. With the drought the way it is, you know, when it does blow, you know, you got all those fish up the river that were catching on worms, you know, and then on the days that like this week, you know, you get out there and drift on those fish, or you can wade them, whatever you want to do. It's just it's been wide open everywhere, and a lot of people are just not taking advantage of it, and which I understand. There's a lot of things going on, man. I'm going daylight to dark. If I didn't have to do it, I might not, make time to do it. It's just a lot of things going on right now. But with the holidays and stuff. But man, it's just very, very encouraging of what's going on down here, and the fish we're catching and the fish we're releasing, and it just the bounce back from sound conservation and sound limits and changed attitudes. Man, it's just, people are taking care of fish now. They're and we're being rewarded with it, with the, you know, we're reaping what we've sowed. We've cut back and kind of put the fishery ahead of everything else and say, man, we got to do something or we're going to lose this thing. And we did something, and man, it's coming back. That's very, very encouraging. Very encouraging.
It'll all be worthwhile, you know, two or three years down the road, and everybody will go, wow, it did work. That's my positive side of it. And if it doesn't work, then we'll go, everybody will be mad at TPNW. Man, I've seen a lot of fish over the years. I could have kept five instead of three. It's only two fish, man, but if it makes
it's
a difference,
two fish.
I'm good with it. I don't care either way.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill anything or not, you know?
Right. That's exactly right. Are you really going out there to feed your family? No, you're not. Come on. That's a bad economic decision.
Hey, man, if you need to meet that bad, go to Louisiana, book a guide, and meet haul them over there, destroy their resource.
Yeah, they're finally waking up too. You know, I know they're still liberal. You know, with their limits, but I mean, by their means, they're a whole lot more conservative. I mean, if it's from 25 to 15 now, man, if you think you need 15 fish, boy, to put a smile on your face, I tell you.
Hey, that's fine if you got them.
But
when you're seeing a decline and you keep doing it, it's not going to get any better. It's just going to get worse.
They just don't have the spots like Texas does. Yeah, we don't keep as many fish as they do, but they would love to be able to catch 3- and 4-pound trout like we do now and let them go. They would love to be able to do that. And then your occasional 5- and 6- and 7-pounder.
They beat the heck out of their 1- and 2-year-old fish. Some of them aren't even six months old.
And then put them in a wheelbarrow and take pictures of them and say, look at me, you know?
Yeah.
This is what we do today,
A deer hunting ranch. You know, I just don't understand it, boys. We killed 60 deer off this ranch last year, and we've only killed 10 this year. Well, duh. I mean...
Yeah, I don't understand why I don't have any money in my account, man. I went everywhere across the country and spent all this money and, you know, got a $1,500 car payment. And, I don't understand why I don't have any money.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I spent $300 on supper a couple nights a week, you know, go out. I don't understand why. Yeah, well, works the same way with the fishery, boys.
It does.
And duck hunting and everything.
Yeah, true.
Same thing. You better manage, right, man. You better manage money, manage your game.
You got that right. Well, Bink, if somebody wants to call you about coming down and lodging up, doing a cast and blast, or just a fishing trip or a hunting trip, give them some info how they can get a hold of you, buddy.
Matagorda to sunriselodge.com, 979-241-1705. We got a big 50-year-old party in there this weekend with about 30 people, and they're going to duck hunt and fish. And awesome. If you just want to come down and hang out, do that too. So,
well, I'd love to see 50 again and know what I know now. All right, man. Bink, have a good shoot. Y'all be safe out there. Pile
up. You have a happy good new year. Everybody else, have a happy new year out there. Merry Christmas to everybody.
You too.
I don't see them. And
I'll see
God bless America.
Get back from vacation.
All right.
Hopefully I got a BBD. All right, buddy. See you, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's Captain Bink Grimes out of Matagorda. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. Easy to find, located right in downtown Belleville. Their meat market and processing facility are right next door to one another. And go by their store, their meat market, check out their smoked sausage samples. They're available daily in the store. Try it before you buy it. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue that's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with pecan smoked pulled pork and homemade hot dogs, now available on their menu, and bulk pricing's available on fresh ground beef and all of their pecan smoked sausage. With Christmas right here on us, it's time to order those gift boxes or go by and check them out. The options are available in-house, or they can customize it for you the way you want it. And if you're looking to cook a rib roast for Christmas, the Belleville will cut and trim for you to perfection. And their wild game processing, I can't say enough about it. It's the best place to take your wild game to get it processed. Their new sausage recipe, you got to try it. It's really good, along with deer tamales, venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 441 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go check in with Captain Tommy Alexander. He's a saltwater and a freshwater fisherman. You saltwatering or freshing this morning, buddy?
I'm neither one this morning.
You laid up.
I'm laid up.
He's laid up.
I'm actually, we're fixing to, we're heading to Waco here in a little while. My daughter's graduating from Baylor this
weekend.
There
you go. So. Cool. Well, congratulations.
I'll be doing neither one until Monday. I'll be saltwater Monday. Right. Saltwater trip Monday. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, next few days is off. It's going to be graduating, doing the graduation thing.
There's a lot of that going on right now. I got a lot of friends. Their kids are graduating from college.
Yeah. I'm kind of surprised they put it so close to Christmas. I would have figured it would have been like last weekend maybe. Or so, I don't know. But that's what they did.
Well, you've done your part. You've got them through it. It's a good Christmas present for you. I've got them graduated. They're on their own now. Let's see how they turn out in real life.
Yeah, I mean, she's already got a job, starts January 15th, so good. She's ready to roll. So, yeah, we'll see. She should do good. Yeah, she'll be all right. She's a smart one.
Good.
So, yeah, that's what I'm doing the next couple of days. I won't be doing any fishing until Monday.
Now, you've been catching some good fish, huh?
Oh, man, fishing in Matagorda's been great. I mean, this whole week has just been, it's been great. That's about all I can say about it.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of good fish, just lot numbers and good ones, both.
Mm-hmm.
And still all varieties of sizes. It's still funny, you know, how we have all kinds of age classes like we talked about before.
Yeah.
I mean, you can catch literally an 8-inch speck, one cast, and next cast a 25-incher.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just all, you never know.
Well, that's a good sign. That's a sign of a healthy bay system right there.
There's a couple days, you know, this week, and I know Charlie had that same issue too. We all did. That, I mean, as far as if somebody wanted to keep fish, you couldn't hardly, they were all overs. You kept too many overs.
Get them in the slot, yeah.
It's hard to get them in the slot.
Telling me.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a day like that. I had one spot for sure. We went to one spot and it was kind of like that. It was all overs.
Mm-hmm.
But
tough problem. That one day. I wish I could say that. We haven't caught about 30 today, but I couldn't keep any of them. They were all too big.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. Well, I know that one day Charlie had a bunch of big ones. I don't remember what day that was, maybe Wednesday or something. And he had like lots of overs up to 28, right. I think. But there was a day before that I fished. I don't even remember what day it was anymore, but there was a day before that. And same thing. I went to one spot. We caught like 10 and I think one of them was in the slot and 9 were over, something like that.
Mm.
And then we moved to another spot, and it was same deal. It was like the first 4 we caught were over. And it was hard to catch something in the slot. No, they weren't way over. You know, they were 21 to 23s.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't, you know, real lot overs, but they were over.
Yeah, that's 4 and 5 year old fish, you know.
Just great, great quality fish. Some of the ones that we're catching in the slot, too, the 17, 18 inchers are fat and just big footballs. Very quality fish.
Yeah, it's amazing how those fish from like 20 to 25 inches, man, they get those big shoulders on them and they're fat.
Yeah.
And toads, man.
Yep. And some of these that aren't even that long are like that. The ones that are in the slot, the 16, 17 inches are just footballs. We've got some really healthy trout right now.
Yeah.
Where our trout is doing pretty well. You know, I'm not seeing like a whole lot over 25 inches. I don't see a bunch of those, just the random ones every now and then. I am seeing some. I mean, I do hear some and seeing some.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, they're out there, but I'm not seeing lots of over 25s like I am, you know, around the 20-inch category. But there's definitely plenty of them. All you need is a little bit of weather. You know, even yesterday, I think Charlie got them pretty good yesterday, and he went, and it was, you know, after all that big major blow we had, he went out there and ended up catching them in the bay.
Right.
It's holding good. Our water temperature was like 68, but now, you know, it's going to be dropped now.
Well, it'll be right back up by Christmas. I mean, we're going to get another warming trend, looks like, all the way through to New Year. So,
I think it's what, the cold
it's
again
not
tomorrow.
A good forecast for my hunting trip, but hey, I'll take it. I'm ready.
Yeah. When are you hunting after Christmas?
From Christmas to New Year's, yeah.
Okay. So you'll be down there.
Same deal every year, man.
That's what I thought. I knew it was either, I just couldn't remember if it was the weekend before Christmas, which obviously now I know it's not, but or the weekend after, I just couldn't remember.
You That's go what I work hard stay. For all year long to get 1 week of God's.
Well, you might get a cool, strut snap in there somewhere.
Well, I'm praying for one.
Yeah. Oh. But yeah, so we're sitting pretty over here on trout wise.
I
caught a few reds mixed in, but I haven't even tried for reds, really. We've just been catching
lots of trout. If you're catching nice trout like that, who wants reds? I'm with you.
I mean, I hadn't had many. Most people just stick in there and we catch them. Even we release them, whatever.
Heck yeah. All right, buddy. Well, Tommy, you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and all that. I'll see you next year. If somebody wants to give you a call about coming down and fishing with you, give them a number.
Yes, sir. They can get me on Facebook, Tommy Alexander, but always best way is the phone. You can text or leave a message. If I don't answer at 979-709-8242.
All right, my friend. Tommy, have a good one. Good talking to you.
All right, I will.
See you, bro.
All right, Mickey.
All right.
Later.
All right. Now let's run down to South Padre. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Brian Barrera, see what he's up to this morning. Brian, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Pretty good, sir. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm good.
All right, I sure
like that photo you sent me of that big old nail guy you had on the ground. Man,
heck yeah.
You look like a Cheeto sitting behind that thing. What a beast.
Yeah, that thing was just gigantic. That was gigantic. They told me down at the processing place that I took it to in Raymondville that it was the biggest body nail guy I ever took in. He said, wow, the guy couldn't believe it. He said, it's the biggest one he'd seen.
Yeah, that's a forklift bull right there. That's a big
one. Yeah, I wish I had a forklift for that thing.
I had one friend,
and I tell you what, I had him on camera, pretty good, pretty dialed in, but they're, you know, crossing this road in the mornings, you know, between 7:45 and 10 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning, they'd cross, and I would go every afternoon trying to catch them coming back, you know. And only one time they caught me, but I saw them, but they busted me, you know. They came out, like, too close to me.
Right.
And finally I had a morning off, and I said, I'm gonna give up sleeping in. I'm going to go in early, put in the work. And sure enough, I got lucky. I saw that cow walk by. So I got up and got ready. I saw the other cows, so it was two of them, and then that bull would be following them. I said, man, I know that bull's going to be back there. And then I saw its ear twitch through the brush, you know, so its ears kind of twitching. And I saw the real dark, black, bluish face, and took one step out. All I had was the first half of its body, and about 150 yards, I put one right on the shoulder.
That's all you needed, man. Aim small, miss small.
Yeah, I shoot using the 7 mag, and I had the 175 grain partition. Heck of a bullet for a new guy, and it maybe turned around and ran about 10 yards down the road and then about 25 to 35 yards into the brush and died right there. And you would think that'd be an easy recovery, but 35 yards in the brush for a 600 to 700 pound animal is not that easy.
No.
But we got it out. And it was just great, you know. It was great, but it was heavy. We had to use some ingenuity to get it because I didn't have my crane thing to lift it up onto the back of the truck with me. So I had to drag it up. We had to make a ramp with deer corn bags and alfalfa bales that I had. We made a ramp and drug it up high enough so that way it would be almost as high as the tailgate. And then we just lifted the rest of it onto the tailgate of the truck. So we got it. And now I'm in Zapata right now. I'm doing some deer hunting. I'm officially on my vacation. So I won't go back to work to fish until the 26th.
Well, and I'll be down so in your neck of the woods during that time frame. I'm coming down Christmas Day, and I'll be there till New Year's.
Oh, yeah. There you go. There you go. Yeah, I'll be here till probably around Christmas Eve or so. And this morning's supposed to be chilly. So hopefully deer will be moving.
Hopefully so. Hopefully you don't get any fog. Well, when it's not warm enough yet, but once, you know, it warms up, those mornings get foggy down there. I don't like that. It's tough on hunting.
Yeah, I know. I've got a 27-mile drive to the ranch from Zapata, so I don't like that either.
No.
But we'll see what happens. It'll be all right. I did get a couple of days of fishing in this week, and I went out and snook fished one day. And it was actually pretty, it slowed up. It was kind of a tough week. I'm guessing it was the full moon. It kind of gotten us or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it just wasn't the easiest. We went out and we caught maybe 6 snook. And probably 2 of them were above 25 inches, you know. So nothing too crazy. A bunch of jack revels, a few nice trout in the mix.
Yeah.
And then we went out, I think, Tuesday. Tuesday we went out and fished the flats. And that was all right, but there was like zero wind, and the people didn't feel like doing any wade fishing that day, so we just kind of had to use the trolling motor and cruise around. We were just cruising around the edges of channels and stuff, trying to catch some flounder and some trout and scrape up a few reds. We had abnormally low tides and zero wind, so it was a little bit tough, but
yeah,
I think we caught a 3-man limit of speckled trout, and they were happy, swatted enough to take out to eat and stuff. So
that'll work.
Yeah, we survived, and then the next day I just drove out here to the ranch. So
yeah,
let's see what happens. The fishing was really good the week before. We were catching a whole lot of snook, and I snook fished every day last week, and it was a little better. You know, those cold snaps fire them up, and they'll be fired up for a week or so, and once it heats up, they'll kind of turn off.
Well, I wish you the best of a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I'll talk to you in 2025, baby.
Right. Well, it was a great year.
Put
another great year on the radio
next time
show.
We talk on our deer hunting.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to hear about it. We'll see what happens this morning. Hopefully these deer get to moving around and chasing.
Yeah, you're down there in that good area. They're starting to rub and scrape good and run scrapes and all that and rub, so you might see old Mr. Big this morning. He may just step out on you.
He better not.
You have to be a big one to match that nail guy.
That's what I said. I'm not shooting one unless it's a good one, because my hamstrings are still sore from pulling that thing out of the press. So.
Man, that's a big animal. Better you than me, but I would like to have one of those. I just need a forklift or a front end loader, put it in the back of the truck. Goodness.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing.
All right, okay, Brad.
Whatever I put it on my face. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, if somebody wants to get with you and come down and fish with you, man, give them some info how they can get a hold of you.
Sure thing. Whenever I put that Neil guy up, I'll make sure to share it to the Sickos page.
There you go.
Anybody wants to get a hold of me, they can get a hold of me, area code 956-755-9413. On a call or text, or you can visit the website, InshoreFishingSouthPadre.com.
All right, Brian. You have a great holiday season. I'll talk to you next year.
Thank you, sir. You
later, too. Man.
Happy holidays.
All right. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break. You listen to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.